CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
So, Mara, Bold and Beautiful is delivering yet another big surprise, which is that Quinn is about to discover Eric and Donna's affair. So more specifically, she finds them in bed together with Bridget by her side, no less. And you know, once again, Brad Bell is really straying from his like baby Beth pacing formula, because this secret is coming out pretty quick by soap standards, I feel. But we'll see if this will pave the way for a Quinn Carter quarter reunion or not. But I really am happy to see Jennifer Garrice getting so much, you know, camera love as Donna, and to see Quinn taking more active role on the canvas. I mean, I will definitely be tuning in for this. You know, another fun on-air reveal was that Sheila's accomplice is none other than Mike Guthrie, played by Ken Haynes, who we first saw in 1993, but haven't seen since 2010.
I was so freaking excited by the Mike reveal, and it made me so happy for Ken when I went on Twitter and saw just how many like longtime B&B fans were also doing proverbial cartwheels at the sight of Mike. What a fun surprise. Like, I love a good soap co-conspirator, a good sidekick, and Mike is a legend on that front. I just love everything about it. It draws on history. It makes total sense in terms of where the Sheila story is now that Mike would pop up. I give it an A+. And I've also got to give it a real serious shout out to Naomi Matsuda, the Emmy-nominated actress playing Lee. It is not easy to hold your own against Kimberlyn Brown, and she has really been killing it. You know, both of these women really have been.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I feel the show is really firing on all cylinders, which is why it's so perplexing that Brad and his writing team will not be on the list of nominees for Best Writing at the Emmys next weekend. I mean, I understand that it covered 2021, but really we are splitting hairs here. It's how I felt last year when Days' Ron Carlovati and co. didn't make the cut and there were only like three other shows on the list. It just doesn't make sense to me. But this year, Ron is nominated twice, since Beyond Salem is also in contention, which is absolutely fantastic. But really, with five nominees in the other categories, how is it possible that B&B isn't in this one? Now, we are in the final countdown for the Emmys, and in the new issue, we spoke to each nominee about finding out they were on the list, what they submitted, who they're bringing in more, which I always get a kick out of reading.
I love that section too. And I felt so lucky to get to talk to all of the nominees from the show that I cover, General Hospital, and celebrate a little bit with each of the actors. You know, for some, it's like far from their first rodeo. Nancy Lee Grahn won her first Emmy back in 1989, for instance. But there's an excitement about someone's first nomination that I just love getting to experience. This year, that included Kelly Teabod, who plays Britt, and Nicholas Chavez, who plays Spencer. There were even some tears in our conversation when he reflected on what it means to him that at this time last year, he had never been on television before, and now he's an Emmy nominee. Now, I actually talked to him more recently since doing that interview, which, if I remember correctly, was conducted like within a day of him being nominated. So I can now confirm who he is bringing as his Emmy date, his little brother.
That's just adorable. I just love all the little stories people share. Now, Days fans are all abuzz over Abigail getting killed, which is not surprising, especially in light of our conversation last week. But our guest today is the woman who played the role, who was also nominated for a Daytime Emmy in the Lead Actress category. It's Marcy Miller. So let's get her on the line and find out how life has been since leaving Salem. Hi, Marcy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Great, man. Sitting in the backyard in a Colorado backyard. It's not so bad. So
sounds amazing. Well, we're so happy to talk to you this week. Obviously, this is a very big pivotal moment in the life of Abigail and you because you have stopped airing on Days and the character of Abigail has died. So first of all, let's talk. When did you first start thinking about leaving?
Honestly, I was interested in maybe recurring. So it wasn't until we started having that dialogue that an actual departure became a more potential reality. I was down to stick around part-time. We just couldn't find a way where schedules were actually going to work and everything. So then at that point, I guess it was probably, oh goodness, November, something like that. November, Christmas time, somewhere in there that we started having the discussion about an actual exit. So
can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you were debating or, you know, the difference between contract and recurring for you and why that was a sticking point?
Yeah, you know, it's just really hard with the way the show shoots. And I assume that it's this way for all soaps to do other things, other projects and whatnot. And I kind of always like to dabble and come and go and try other things on for size. I feel like it makes me a better actor. It makes me better to go and play other characters and gain new experiences. I come back and I have new ideas and then Days feels fresh again. And so I feel like it's really valuable for a lot of reasons. And that particular year I had a couple of films that I had auditioned for and was going to get to do, but then Days couldn't make it work in my schedule. So, you know, and they didn't do anything wrong. You know, I signed a contract. They bought my time and fair and square, but I just realized I was like, okay, I guess I think I have to like build in my opportunities to do these other things if I do want to do them. And I do. So that's when I thought recurring could be a good option because then at that point, Days doesn't get first dibs every single week. You know, if a recurring status, if I get another job and I find out about that, then when Days reaches out to me, I say, hey, I already have this other job that I'm going to do, but I'll be there whenever I'm done with this, you know? So it's disappointing, but it's like a win. It's sort of a win-win, you know, and it's soap. So who knows what can and might be someday. Who knows? I'm not trying to come back anytime soon right now, but I never close the door like forever, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you did make the decision that, okay, recurring isn't going to work, I'm really going to go. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
It was hard. It was sad. You know, it's bittersweet. I like the job. I love the people. I like the character. I like Chabby. I love working with Billy Flynn. All of that. But then I am getting to lean hard into being a mom and hanging out with my daughter. And then like 6 weeks after I got done at Days, I got this other film that I worked on. That's one of my like favorite things I've ever done probably in my life. And so it's been validating and affirming sort of every step of the way, that the timing was good. And so that made it a little easier. It'd feel a little lighter, but I've missed and mourned it every time I've walked out the door for the quote last time.
So when did you start telling, you know, your castmates, the news and what kinds of reactions did you get?
I kept it pretty quiet. I always sort of like to keep things under the radar and the nature of the way we shoot everything. You know, if someone's not directly in your storyline, you may or may not see them for weeks or months at a time. So I wasn't really advertising that I was leaving. I told Billy. Billy and Sal Stowers knew every step of the way because they're kind of my homies, that I was discussing this. And Billy was aware pretty much every step of the way too, just like, because there was a time when I was going to stay forever and there was a time I was like, I got to go. And then there was a time I was like, maybe a little bit of both, maybe I'll recur. So he, in fairness to him and our partnership and all of that, I've always been pretty transparent about sharing all of that stuff with him as it comes up, as I'm having discussions with producers and whatnot. I just feel like it's fair. And I always value their opinion too. So, of course, disappointed and sad. And I, as far as the rest of the cast, I guess I didn't really say too much about it, but because of the character's impact on everybody on the show, you know, pretty much everybody had moments where they were are told or has moments where they're told or find out that Abigail has passed away. So a lot of the cast then was approaching me as they saw them in scripts and whatnot and saying, you know, then giving their no's and why not, how comes and all of that. So, but it was a hard one. You know, it's like on one hand, you're honored to lay the character to rest, to be the one who gets to do that for a character who's been there forever. On the other hand, I just, yeah, sort of wish they would have recast her and let her keep kicking, you know?
Right. Well, how did you react when you heard that Abigail was going to die?
I was really sad about it. I really was. Like, I really have always wanted to believe in Chad and Abigail and them, like, getting to a cool place and exploring some other interesting, you know, relationship story, blah, blah, blahs. I was sad about it. I called Billy right away. The producer, Albert Lauer, called me to give me the heads up just so that I wasn't, like, learning it cold, reading a script. And he said, I just want to let you know, we're going to kill Abigail. And it was a really hard decision, but I think it's just what's best. And I was like, man, okay, all right, I understand. And I understand, like, the weight of that. I understand that that's going to be really impactful to my coworkers and the audience and the show. And yeah, so I was feeling a little gloomy there for a minute. And people said that, like, as we were filming these scenes and whatnot, people said, it's like, man, it feels like a real death. Like, it really feels like somebody died. There was kind of this eerie, strange something in the air. I didn't feel like sunshine and rainbows. That's what I'm saying.
But to say, watching it play out, you know, it is being treated like sort of a more traditional death rather than kind of a quote day's death that people can get back from. So I feel like we really are going through the emotions with every character so far about like how they're reacting to Abigail dying. And it is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think you never say never in this genre, but I mean, I think it's written to be like sort of permanent or semi-permanent for now, you know, like I there's not been any discussion of me like coming back in 6 months or anything like that.
It's being written as permanent as a day's death can be.
Yes, precisely. That's it. Yep. That's it.
So, you know, a lot of people don't want their role recast. You know, I think they would embrace the idea that the character ends with them. So if the character had gone on, you know, you mentioned some relationship, blah, blah, blah with Chad, but what do you think, you know, an Abigail future would have held that you think would have been interesting for another actress to tackle?
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted the characters to get like a little bit meatier and more in depth and in terms of like, you know, working through the junk and getting to a healthy place, like sort of getting to be on a similar page as their, like getting to be a team to fight whatever fill in the blank they're fighting at the time. Just to really see that companionship and that camaraderie and that relationship grow deeper. I know they were sort of hinting at having another baby and just some more familiar, especially like Billy and I being new parents too. I think it could have been fun and interesting to explore some things with the kids more. I mean, there's like 50,000 ideas I feel like we could have, it's what it is for now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the death scenes. First of all, had you ever filmed a death scene before?
Yes, I had.
Okay. So how would you rate this one? What was it like for you to be sitting there and hearing all these like amazing things being said about Abigail over you?
While we were shooting it, I was like super hormonal at the time and breastfeeding and the whole nine still. And so like I had these little tears that kept sneaking out because it was the weight of like it being the end and it being some of my last shows I was taping. But then like the juxtaposition between being a new mother and listening to this mother agonizing over the heartbreak of losing somebody or losing their daughter, not just somebody. I mean, very specifically her daughter. yeah, it was really emotional for me. And then also, again, eerie. I mean, you're on this cold autopsy table, you know, you go in there and it's metal and it's cold and there's like this little piece that your head sits in, and my head's literally really sitting in it. And then they pull the sheet over your head and there's this white light that's right above your face. And it's just this super surreal moment. And you can't help but think about death and going and what that looks like after it's taken place, like what happens to your body. It was just, yeah, all kinds of thoughts and feelings about it. So weird to shoot. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like a blah feeling, you know, kind of like, blah, I don't really, you know, I could skip over those a lot of the times. It was like bad juju or something.
Yeah.
I feel like when we spoke to you for the last time, when you came back after having Willett, you said that as a mother, you kind of wished you could go back and play different scenes or scenes differently because you had a different perspective. Do you feel maybe, I guess, I don't know if you would know this, but do you feel maybe had you not had a child, you would have felt differently in those scenes? Like, do you think being a mother now made them more resonant for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just like this part of myself, I feel like, has been unlocked. Like, so this thing that people have been walking around knowing for eons that I just didn't know and hadn't accessed in myself. And like, I did not understand the relationship between mother and child and what that is. I understand loss. I understand heartbreak. I understand all of that, but there's something about it when it's a kid, like even, you know, all this stuff with Uvalde and everything that's going on. I mean, it hits so much differently now that I feel like I understand that relationship.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, like, I think the hardest thing for me is like that she's a mother, you know?
Yes.
Oh, children, my children not having, Abigail to raise them. You know, but, you know, it makes for good soapy drama when they're 20, you know, in 2 months. I'm curious, I don't know if you remember the order, but like, were those scenes of Abigail dead your actual last scenes, or did you do it out of order so you actually then had to come back to life and play Abigail living and breathing again?
I think those were my last scenes. I think Billy's where it was the last one. I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell us about your experience shooting those scenes with Billy.
Oh my gosh. You just, my heart breaks from, cause you know, we're friends. And so it's sad for us to not be working together. It's sad for us that the Chabby is like coming to an end. And then it's sad for us that, you know, of course this is happening to these characters that we care about and have invested in all this time. So, I felt sort of guilty because he had to do a lot of the work for those scenes, the finding me and everything on the bed. And then even just like, yeah, the autopsy table. He's amazing. I think Billy's just one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. And I selfishly enjoy watching him, but as a friend feel bad that he's having to do it because I'm leaving and all this stuff at the same time too. But yeah, I think he did an amazing job. Again, I couldn't really see it all. And I haven't watched the scenes yet, the air scenes, so I need to get on there and check it out. But I know he's amazing no matter what he does.
Yeah, it was, they're so far what we've seen, it's very sad. It just
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it feels real in that way, which is why, you know, Mara and I have had this discussion before. You know, even though people get upset about deaths, it's like it is part of life, and there is something cathartic and, you know, moving to really go through these paces with these characters who you've,
sure,
you know, watched grow up and all of that. So your decision really did leave some good story for everybody, Marcy.
It sure did. Yeah, no, and I'm grateful it did. I mean, that's a silver lining of the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, as you look back now on this last go round of days, you know, how would you characterize it versus your first one, where you, you know, left after playing like Abby, Laura, Gabby? Like, I feel like you left there and it was so nuts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was a very different experience. The first time I was so, so worn out and I just like needed the break, you know, and this time I still felt whole in my departure. You know, I don't feel like I walked out the door and just like collapsed on my bed and stayed there for 2 months or anything. You know, I got to walk out with my head held high and hug everybody and really be present throughout the whole exit and just enjoy the time that I had. You know, it didn't feel, the first time I really was so tired. I just was ready to sit down and get out. And this time it was a much more pleasant exit of all that. Yeah.
Well, when you think about the Marcy who first walked onto the set in 2016 versus the Marcy that walked out, I mean, a lot of life change, a lot of professional change in your life. How do you feel you've changed in that span of time?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to do soap very long to feel like you've acquired a whole skill set, really. It's such a specific thing that's so valuable in every other aspect of your whatever of this industry. So much more confident on it, really, and a greater sense of the character and understanding. I didn't feel like I was being judged by everybody anymore. You know, I felt like I had gained their respect and affection. And so I didn't feel like I had a sense of anxiety. So I felt like I was able to be a little bit freer, more comfortable with Billy, more comfortable with the other people on the show, you know, not as nervous when I've got to do scenes with like Deidre or Teo or all of these people who I grew up watching, you know, at the first go round, it was sort of like, they were so other from me. Like they were these sort of untouchable folks still and there's a part of me that still like feels that way about them. I still kind of can fan out about them, but they've also been so gracious to me that I feel a part of it too. Like I feel more a part of it this second time that I did the first time.
Well, Kayla gets all upset, so I guess your sister can watch and namesake how upset she is.
Yes, perfect. I'll let her know.
Okay. We're going to go through some of your castmates in no particular order and tell us what you think of them when you hear their names. So let's start with Sal. Sal Sterling.
Oh, best. She's my best. She's my daughter's godmother. I mean, she is just one of the best friends I've ever had.
Emily O'Brien, who plays Gwen.
Oh, this woman. Gosh, she is so much fun to work with. I just think she's incredibly smart. She brings a really unique perspective. But then she plays the villain so well. And it's great because she takes it super seriously and she executes really well. But then like you call cut and we can bust up laughing and fall apart. She also understands the absurdity of it all too. You know, like it's very serious. I don't want to like say it's all absurd, but we all know there's some like absurdity to it as well. And it's nice to have that balance in the workplace. So she's been a great, great, great partner in this whole song and dance.
Well, this is someone who you haven't worked with as much, but had some fun stuff with recently, Greg Rickhart, who plays Leo.
Oh my gosh. I love this man. I wish I had worked with him so much more than I actually have. I mean, he's the whole kit and caboodle. He's wildly funny, super intentional, so smart. I mean, this like deep, incredible parent, you know, like leading up to my baby being born and shortly after I had her, you know, just like trading stories and talking about his experiences and all of this. And man, he's like giving me pep talks in the hallway. Like, so I love him on screen. I love him off screen. I love him as a person. I just think he's really top tier to me.
Well, what about Melissa Reeves, one of your Jennifer moms?
Man, I know Missy. Gosh, this person too is so, so special. See this, and this is why it's hard to leave because you really have such deep affection for everybody. I mean, Missy to me, she was so nurturing and so loving and kind and generous to me from the get-go. And there is something very maternal about her just anyway, kind of in the way she relates to anybody. And I was no exception. She swooped in and took care of me and helped me out. And I mean, I remember those first weeks I was on that job, she was like, they'd call cut or we'd have a 10-minute break and I would be like sobbing in the wing because I just felt like I sucked. And she would get me all revved up and tell me what I needed to hear. And we'd go back out there 10 minutes later. And it was like actually great that I just sobbed because we're going to use it in the scene and it was perfect. So I really think the world of her. She lives in this similar area as my mom. So I like to try to keep in touch with her and see her when I go home and stuff here and there. So I hope to continue to do that well beyond being on the show or not, whether we're on the show or not.
Now let's talk about your second mom, Katie McLean.
Katie, yeah, Katie. And it's amazing because it's such a different relationship. But Katie, so like I would say Missy like really nurtured like my personal self in a lot of ways, but Katie is such a cheerleader for my creative self. You know, she's always like, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that. And really gives me a lot of inspiring pep talks about studying, staying active, like making sure I'm really carving out the time to progress and improve as an artist, because she thinks I got it and can do it. And, you know, like, and it means a lot to me coming from someone like her. You know, she's knows what she's doing. And I just recently did a little play. She has a theater company. She's a creative director for a theater company in New York. And we did some like online readings and she asked me to be there. And I was just like, so honored by that, that she would think of me and want me to be there. Like, yeah, I think the world of her.
What about Matthew Ashford, who plays Jack?
Yeah, I love Matt. He's so cool. Matt is like the dude you absolutely want to sit next to on a plane, because he has, I feel like he's such a great conversationalist. He has so much to say. He has so much wisdom. I feel like I could ask him questions about almost anything and get in return. Like if I wanted him to write like a 10-page paper on anything, I feel like he could do it. You know what I mean? So I just think he's a wealth of information and a beautiful human being. And he works so hard and is super committed to the work. I was so grateful that he came back, that he was there. Because the first time I wasn't there, he was not on Canvas. And that was one of the relationships that I was really bummed about. So yeah, I love Matt Ashford. And he's, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. He's really special guy.
What about your TV brother, Casey Moss, who just got engaged?
Casey did get engaged. Oh man, this guy, he is so sweet. He is such a fun person, hardworking, and just chill, man. Like I like the way he works so much. He has a really grounded approach to the work. He tries to keep it pretty natural, not overthink it, not overplay it. And those are always really good reminders for me, because you have these big scripted moments, you know, it's easy to feel like you want to like go with it and make it really big and crazy, but there's something interesting to play against it and keep it grounded and rooted and natural. And so yeah, I really admire his talent and appreciate being reminded to do the work in a thoughtful and intentional kind of way. So, and I'm so glad he's engaged. Yeah, I actually was wondering that not that long ago. He and Drew have been together for a long time.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Well, someone that Abigail was less close to is Gabby, but tell us about Camila Manus.
Yeah, Camila is very special to me too. I mean, she was one of the people when I very, very first came in, who extended her hand, heart, and self to me. And at the time, Abby and Gabby were besties. They were kind of trying to like play that up. And yeah, I felt seen by her. I felt like she understood what I was trying to do. And I watched her a lot too, because she seemed to me like she had like an effortless confidence. Like she was unapologetic about who she was, but she was still like cool and humble. And so I really observed her a lot, not because I didn't know I was going to be playing Gabby. But I just like, even professionally, the way she handled herself and did the red carpets and everything. She was really an example to me. And I felt like, yeah, she was just was very professional and effortless in the way that she did it, and good to her fans and not afraid of the camera and what this job and everything demands of us. You know, she just grabbed it with both hands and ran with it. So that was good for a newbie like me to see.
Well, I did joke about your sister being named after her, but I feel as though they put a lot of scenes between Kayla and Abigail because Jennifer wasn't on the canvas. So tell us about Beth Evans.
Yeah, she's all this woman too. I mean, this woman, whoever you're sitting across from this woman, like you leave feeling like
$1 million, or like you've been exposed to something really, really special. You know, it's like, wow, that person, that's a really special person. She too, she's been super sorry, Mike, I just saw my daughter's little tiny head just walk out from the door. It's like, go back in there. Okay. Thank you. Yes. So she too, she's just been very, she's just a fun person to be around. I really appreciate her groundedness too. She's another person who takes the work seriously, but doesn't take it too seriously. Has a great time. I really admire who she is as a mother and as a person. Asked her a lot of questions about her relationship with her kids. And she's always been really sweet, asking to see like pictures and videos and wanting to know how I was doing. And there's something about her to me too. That also feels very maternal, probably in a similar way, not the same as Missy, a different version of it, but those are kind of the two of the women that I remember my mom like really talking about when she was watching it and when I was in high school watching it. Yeah, I think the world of her, if I could like be her, and yeah, that's cool. A lot of things she says, I secretly think I'm doing that. The way she hosts Christmas every year and Thanksgiving, I'm doing that. I already know.
Well, you mentioned them earlier, so I would love to hear, now that, you know, you have some years of working with them under your belt, what about Deirdre and Taya?
Oh man. Deirdre Hall to me too, she's sort of this person. She is like the person that I think about when I mean, cause it was the whole Marlena, possessed by the devil storyline. Like that was the big thing that I was watching in high school. And so for me, even still, I can get a little nervous, and I joke with my makeup artist, like if Deirdre comes by while I'm getting my makeup done and then she leaves, I'll always be like, was I okay? Was it okay? Was that okay? And she's always like, stop it. You're fine. You're totally fine. So there has been an arc to it, my relationship with her, because initially, you know, it's like, okay, I'm anything you want me to be while I'm in front of you. What do you want me to be? It's like this constantly, like, how can I chameleon myself to be exactly who you would think was really great? And now it has settled out, and I feel like we have a more genuine relationship. I mean, she's always been genuine, I'm sure. I'm hardly intimidating, but I now have felt like, yeah, she and I can have a chat in the hall. And she too, like while I was pregnant, shared stories about having her kids and being a mother, and has always expressed so much interest in seeing the photos and seeing the videos. And she emails me from time to time just because, and tells me to stay close. And half of me as a coworker is just like really moved by her intention. And then half of me as a fangirl is like, okay, I'm printing these all out and I'm putting them in an album together. So, and Teo is, what is Teo not? Teo is like everything. Like Teo is funky. Teo is fun. Teo is smart. Teo is super poetic. Teo is very creative and worldly. And his perspective and approach to life in general. I don't know. I just have this image of him like cooking a branzino with like a glass of some like French incredible white something that I've never heard of, and sitting down just for himself with like at a 12-foot table with a candelabra lit in the center. Like I feel like that's just how he lives life. I don't know for sure, but it seems like it must be right. Caviar as an appetizer every Thursday or something like that.
I love it. I could see yep. that as well.
Right?
Yeah. I think you nailed it. Yes.
100%. Okay. And last but not least, we're going to ask you to say things about Billy Flynn.
Billy, man. If I could have handpicked a partner for this, it would have been him. I mean, he and I really lucked out getting to have each other. I think I can speak for him when I say that, but we have a lot of similarities and a lot in the way we approach the work and who we are and the way we're raised and like our processes and all of this stuff, outside of just genuinely having a lot of respect and quite simply just enjoying who the other person is. I find him so fun to work with. He is really committed to the character. He's always looking to bring something fresh and unique. He's always looking like beyond the page to see what he can do to make them more human and relatable and real. I learn from him. I find if there's anybody's opinion and like stamp of approval, I want more on that show. Like it's his, and he's one of my best buds. But still, like for him to tell me good work, it means a lot more to me than most everybody else on that show. So I love him very much.
We love to hear it. All right. So switching gears a little bit, the Daytime Emmys are coming up and you are nominated again. Congratulations. And you are up for lead actress. So tell us, first of all, how you reacted to news of your nomination.
Yeah, man. I was so surprised. I was just at home with my kid, like, you know, just pajamas, teeth not brushed yet, like whatever, hanging out, and got a text message from Billy. So it was like all such a juxtaposition. It's like, okay, I just got nominated for this thing. I'm going to wear this gown and I'm going to be all these things that I'm absolutely not right now. Like it's just sort of interesting. It was like, I don't feel like a person who just got nominated for a Daytime Emmy right now. But yeah, I'm always honored. I expected it less this year probably than any of the other years. But it's now, especially like with leaving and the death of Abby and everything, it just feels like I'm really grateful for it, even more so than I would be. It feels like a really great note to end on. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, what scenes did you submit?
I submitted stuff with Gwen and Billy, where I find out that Gwen stayed in the hotel with Billy all night long. And at first I'm kind of like, well, why did you, you know, it seems to me like you would have taken advantage of him last night. And then she kind of has this realization moment where she's like, oh, wait a second. Wait, did you stay with him last night? And so she has this cool cool pivot emotionally. Then I submitted the scenes where I find out that she's pregnant with Chad's baby. Then I submitted some scenes with Billy where I'm just discussing, I'm kind of crying and upset and at like what Emily's character has made me become. And I don't know how to get past it. And Billy wants to help me get past it. And how do I move forward with all these things? So those three chunks.
Who are you taking with you?
Taking the hubs, Ryan Madison.
Mm-hmm. And have you chosen a dress yet?
No, I hate shopping. So, but I'm very picky. So it's sort of frustrating space to be in. But I'm going to work with a stylist this year named Francesca Giovanni. Sal connected me to her. And so she and I are getting together on Thursday for the first time. And she's going to bring me some options. And hopefully we'll come up with something good.
That's brilliant. We recently saw some adorable, awesome evidence online that the Leading Ladies Luncheon took place. So tell us about the luncheon experience and getting to hang out with your sister nominees.
With a special guest star, your daughter.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I said she was in my belly for all the scenes I submitted, so she probably had the right to be there as I did, really. So, okay. I'll take that extra hormonal boost. I was like, what do you get when you, so I keep joking, like, what do you get when you cross like a pregnant woman in a pandemic and who's a soap actor with a bunch of pregnancy hormones? Like, that's why I got nominated. But that luncheon is like one of my favorite things. I always look forward to that. Outside of the actual event itself, that's probably the thing. I mean, it's always such a wealth of information and experience, and we get to see these other women from these other shows for one time a year, really. And so it's affirming, it's cathartic, it's motivating, inspiring. It's so many things just because we, here she comes again. Oh, so funny. There's just a lot of wisdom in that room too, you know? So it always feels really good. I always leave feeling really full in a lot of ways. Like just, I mean, yeah, she had a great time. And yeah, it was cool for me. I was like, someday I'm going to get to show you a picture of like Laura Wright holding you on her knee. Like, like that's cool to me. Yeah. So
I would like to see, you know, obviously who knows what the future holds. But I feel like Jackie Wood has three very handsome little boys that could potentially be suitors.
Oh my gosh, I hear that. Her kids, and oh man, she is champing out. She had her baby like 2 weeks ago and she was there looking so good. I was just amazed. I was amazed by her.
I saw the photos. I'm like, it's hard to believe she just had a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for you. That's amazing. Amazing. So.
Okay, well, we did discuss Willett. She turned one in March. So how would you describe your first year of motherhood and how she's doing?
Yeah, she's amazing. Honestly, I feel like, man, she is so easy. And I don't know, like I feel like I knew who she was going to be before she was even here. Like I just had this sense of who she was and her personality. And I might be totally wrong 10, 15, 20 years from now. But for now, she's so easygoing. And motherhood is this crazy thing. Like, I mean, shout out to the mothers in the world, because prior to being one, I did not realize that the earth was spinning on its axis because they were waking up at 4 o'clock every morning. like I feel like moms really just kind of make the world go around. And yeah, I'm honored to be a part of that tribe now. And it's been hard in moments for sure. I can't imagine anybody not like having that experience. You're exhausted, you're tired, you know, and then working too. It's like you're pumping and you're trying to put on your makeup because it's COVID. And then you're trying to FaceTime because it's COVID to run your lines, but you got to make sure your pumping isn't showing in there while you're doing it. And yeah, so motherhood and work and all of that was hard, but it was very, very gratifying. And it's just one of the loveliest experiences of my life. I mean, even here, we were flying to Colorado a couple days ago, and she's sitting on my lap, and for the first 10 minutes of the flight, she's got her hand on the window just going, oh, wow, oh, wow. And she's flown before, but never at this age where she just has more awareness and everything. And it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, we forget to take these things. We take these things for granted. We're on a piece of machinery that's flying 30,000 miles in the air. You're right. Oh, wow. This is incredible. yeah. So she's the greatest teacher of my life thus far, I think.
Well, I remember tearing up at the Father's Day post that you wrote for your husband. It was so sweet and so eloquent, but tell us what it's been like to watch their bond and also see your husband become a dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's such a special guy, man. I just feel like I really hit the jackpot with this one. And I got married so young, like right out of college, you know, and we just were like, oh my gosh, we got so lucky. We hardly knew each other before we got married, but we like each other and are still married. And, you know, we just really are so fortunate. But I knew he would be such a special dad and such a special like girl dad too, specifically. He's a very sensitive man. He's very in tune. He's super aware, but then he's goofy and like the life of the party. So I knew that his version of fatherhood was really gonna just like, I was gonna see the best of him, the best version of him I have ever seen. And I do. I mean, we just got here. He was in Colorado and we're here visiting him. He's gone a slew of days without seeing her, and just like how hard that's been for him, and like seeing them reunite and the way they just like play together. I mean, there is no sweeter experience for me than watching him do this. And as a woman who did not grow up with a father too, like it feels like I'm so grateful to be the end of like a cycle. This is what I've always, having him as the father figure of my family, the patriarch of my family, is like what I've dreamed about since I've been 8 years old, you know, and then to have met him and to now have him and be enjoying it. Yeah, it's I feel like I'm really living the good life right now.
Well, yeah. We're going to give you some bragging time. So tell us what Willett is up to. What tricks? She's obviously talking and acknowledging things.
Yes, this child. Oh my gosh. She's super verbal. She talks. She loves to play. Right now, she loves to kick the ball. Actually, since she's been about 8 or 9 months old, like she's all about the soccer ball. Like she wants to kick it. And she does this thing where she'll get it in the corner and she puts her foot right on top of it and rolls it backwards. She's like figured that out. And, loves to dance, loves to hop. She's, I don't know. She just loves to go, go, go. She's definite party animal. She does not want to eat or sleep. If there's anything cool, she doesn't want to eat, she doesn't want to sleep. She just wants to go, 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 go. Yeah, but she's very, very sweet. She sings and it's like the best feeling in the world. She sings her song, this little song, and all it is mama. It's like, mama, mama, mama. And it's just so silly and sweet. But she likes to do high kicks. Now she's walking around. She kicks her leg and she says, hiya, hiya. It's so funny. She knows where her ears and eyes and nose and knees and elbows and wrists and all these things are. And she wants to wear everything. Like, honestly, she wants to wear my clothes all the time. The day that we went shopping for the Emmy dress with Sal, I thought this kid was going to lose her mind. I have so many videos of her just like freaking out over the sequins and Sal like holding her up and trying to put these, hold these dresses up to her. So she likes to like play dress up. And I think the bag she thinks was maybe like an article of clothing or something. So she, whether it's a shirt or a bag or a scarf or anything, or just like a long ribbon or anything, she wants to put it on her and she wants to start walking around. And then she wants to go and she wants to see herself. And yeah, she's so funny. Ugh, it is just, I don't know. It's such a hoot. I mean, all parents are like this, but I could literally sit and watch her just breathe all day long. It's so silly.
I think that's absolutely awesome. All right. Well, rumors, you know, of what was going to come for Abigail and then confirmation that Abigail was going to die created, you know, a huge emotional reaction in Dave's fans. So I'm curious to hear, you know, what that meant to you, that that the character that you played had that kind of impact on the viewers.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's super meaningful. I mean, I'm no dummy. I know that the character and my work and me as an actor and all of that, like that's really nothing without a fan base and people who are interested in it and interested in the stories. And God, I really felt bad for him. And I felt bad for him that it came out. I don't really know exactly how it came out. It wasn't supposed to come out when it came out. So then it was just like this long, I think it really colored, you know, what they were seeing on screen at the time too. You know, I think it impacted the way they were able to enjoy what was left of the character in her journey. So yeah, I felt badly for them for those reasons. And it's just something, it's the end of something they've been so devoted to. I felt bad, but it meant a lot to me that there was such a strong opinion and that they wanted the character to continue and were verbal about that and the whole nine. So they're very, gosh, just really very sweet people.
Is there anything you want to say directly to them?
Oh yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for all of my coming and my going and my up, my downs, like for just embracing me and whatever I have had to bring to Abby at the time, and for being understanding and patient with me as I learn and figure out how to ride this like daytime horse here. It has meant a lot to me and really informed so much of my experience and yeah, been a very crucial and part of all of it for me. So without them, it's nothing. We're flat on our backs.
Well, obviously this is airing now, this material, but you filmed it a while back. So tell us about what you've been doing since you wrapped, and have you shot other projects thus far?
Yeah, I did. I shot a film called Give Me My Money. Worked on that starting about 6 weeks after I left the show. It was amazing, really just an amazing experience beginning to end. It's an action comedy. I get to play this like badass action gal, you know, something. And I remember I got the audition. I was like, oh, this is not me. This is not me. You want somebody like that's, I'm been pumping iron for the last like 6 months and really hitting it. And then I got the job and I was like, wow, this is incredible to me. But Bill Vigil wrote this piece and directed it. And it's just a gaggle of characters who are chasing after this one woman. That's me, for reasons I won't disclose. But we had incredible stunt people. I got to do things I never thought I would ever do in my lifetime, like jumping off roofs and hopping fences and these fight sequences that were super in depth. And these guys who played opposite me are these super, they've just been doing stunts for 20, 30 years. Tim Sitar has played the bear in The Revenant and did all these other things. Tomer Oz, these people who've worked with Jackie Chan for ages and just really know what they're doing. Jane Austen is the stunt coordinator and she helped do all that stuff and figure it all out. But they just made me look so cool, way cooler than I probably actually am. But it was really, really fun. So they're taking that to Cannes, I think, to try to sell it. I mean, we just wrapped on it not that long ago, so it's not edited and it's not done. And I don't know, but fingers crossed. I think it will come out somewhere. I think it'll come out somewhere pretty easily. I'm not exactly sure what or where or when, but I feel pretty confident about it.
Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling about just the Colorado home base? You're just planning on going back and forth to LA or wherever it takes you?
Yeah. We're kind of all over the place, man. And we've always been nomadic folk and happy to do that. I mean, we just found out some friends are moving to Nicaragua for a year, and we're like, we could do that. You know, we're at a stage of our life. You know, we feel like we've got a few years before Willett starts school, before we have to really plant ourselves and stay put while she goes to school and has some stability and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, we're very open to all kinds of things. But yes, we will be in and out of LA quite a bit too, I imagine. Yeah, who knows? It could be anything.
Well, you know, we've talked about how you have no current plans to, you know, have Abigail resurrected in 6 months or whatever. But right. In general, are you open to the idea that somewhere down the line, you and Abigail could meet again?
I mean, yeah, sure. Always. It would have to be like a lot of things that have to line up just right in order for it to make sense. But, you know, I'm open to it. I'll never say never. But not right now, for sure. Not right now, but never, never.
Okay. Well, we'll hold you to that. Marcy, thank you so much for talking to us today and just for all the cooperation over the years. We will miss you. We hope we have a reason to talk to you soon.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me here. I really, really means a lot.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Marcy Miller for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.